Hello, welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavitaf. While your prospects for a Syria peace conference in Geneva next month looks dim, key opposition leaders, including the so-called SNC, have rejected efforts by Western and Arab powers to persuade them to attend. In this debate, we'll discuss the fractured opposition and why even the coalition of countries are also fractured, in particular Saudi Arabia, who is at loggerheads with the U.S. policies regarding Syria. This is while Assad forces continue to advance against insurgents in the country.
Foreign ministers from the Western and Middle Eastern countries that support the Syrian rebels arrive in London to strategize. Among them are the major backers of the war against the government of Bashar al-Assad.
It's been over 2 years since the Syrian opposition and their foreign sponsors have tried to topple Bashar al-Assad, yet the Syrian president still remains in power. Moreover, the momentum on the ground seems to be moving decisively in his favor. And that might be the reason why the foreign ministers meeting in London today are increasingly talking about a political solution.
After their meeting, the ministers condemned Bashar al-Assad for what they called his indiscriminate use of violence against civilians, and they pledged support for the so-called moderate rebels. Nevertheless, they also put their political weight behind a peace conference due to happen in Geneva in the next few months.
First, we agreed that we would put our united and collective weight behind the UN-led Geneva II process, which must lead to establishing by mutual consent a transitional governing body. So Assad would play no role in that future government of Syria.
Both sides will continue to fight and to fight and to fight. And in the end, the greatest victims, the people who suffer the most, are the Syrian people themselves.
Meanwhile, outside the British Foreign Office, a small protest took place urging the ministers not to arm the Syrian rebels.
The drive for peace and how Syria's future is determined must be driven by the Syrian people themselves, not the extremists, not the people that have come in from outside.
Obviously, this is a group of people who've taken a very one-sided stance from the beginning, which was in opposition of the Syrian government. And that's actually not very representative of 60% of Syria's public opinion. I think it's very encouraging to note that today there is a move aimed towards negotiations as opposed to bombing Syria into peace.
The Syrian government says it's fighting a foreign-backed insurgency, led on the ground by al-Qaeda, with the blessing of the West and its Middle Eastern proxies. However, recent victories on the battlefield have put the once-embattled government in a much stronger negotiating position, in talks they've already agreed to attend.
The rebels have been committing pretty vile acts of terror, essentially in a bid to get a Western intervention going. Rather than actually bringing a conflict to an end, they're looking to bring a third party to a conflict.
So even though it's far from certain who will be attending the Geneva conference and how effective it'll be in ending the violence, there's at least hope that the issues will be settled around the negotiating table rather than on the battlefield. Roshan Mohammed Saleh, Press TV, London.
Well, let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. Former U.S. Marine Ken O'Keefe joins us from London. And we have investigative journalist Lee Kaplan, who joins us from Berkeley. Gentlemen, welcome. Lee Kaplan, the Friends of Syria group, they had a meeting. Britain, Egypt, France, Germany, Jordan, Italy, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, the United Arab Emirates, the United States. Isn't it odd that these countries should be the ones deciding the future of Syria?
I don't think it's odd. You have the democracies in the West. They want to see Bashar Assad removed. He's a butcher and a dictator. At the same time, they have a problem in that al-Qaeda has gotten itself in the mix. I was just reading intelligence reports, though, where mainstream rebels who are fighting the Assad regime have actually joined with former or actually present government troops there to patrol areas, and they're both fighting al-Qaeda at this point. And the Western powers now are doing their best not to let arms get to al-Qaeda. Although it's created a huge mess in the region, they've actually been patrolling. That is, the rebels who are not al-Qaeda have been patrolling with the government troops from Syria in rebel-controlled areas to try and rid the area around Homs and Hama from the al-Qaeda forces there. Turkey has also been sending arms to the rebels to fight al-Qaeda, although they were not helping the Kurds there because they were afraid of a Kurdish incursion on the Turkish border in the north near Aleppo.
Well, let me come to you, Ken O'Keefe, on Lee Kaplan's statement there, how he said that you have democracies like Western democracies that are backing this so-called Friends of Syria group. What is your take on that? I mean, here we have all these countries that are, in particular, not have democracies like Qatar and Saudi Arabia in particular.
Well, thankfully, we're reaching a point in human history where the only people who believe the sort of nonsense that would portray America and its allies as wishing for freedom, justice, democracy, and all of these notions in the rest of the world is remarkably non-existent. Nobody with half a brain believes for a second that the United States cares about the Syrian people, nor democracy, nor any form of justice. The proof of that, of course, is in the 1 to 2 million dead in Iraq, the millions of orphans, millions of refugees. Afghanistan likewise decimated, a country in tatters. We also can look at Libya and how our humanitarian interventions have benefited that country there. And anyone who thinks that the United States or its allies have any moral standing in the world and actually wish what's best for the people of Syria, again, are either seriously ignorant and stupid or heavily compromised. So the truth of the matter is, of course, that the real reason why we're in Syria and largely that region is to carry out wars for the state of Israel. The Jewish state of Israel has a long-term agenda of the Greater Israel Project, and to destabilize the surrounding nations and making sure that there is no form of representative Arab nationalist unity in which a strong leadership that represents the true interests of the people can emerge and that the people themselves can enjoy some form of dignity and liberty in their lives. It's the West that has created the hotbed of Takfiri, fake Islam, that allows these psychopaths to be armed by our governments and our allies, Qatar and Saudi Arabia, first among them. And these psychopaths, of course, are not completely predictable. They will do a lot of what we like, but let's make no mistake about it. These people are nothing more than Frankensteins that we've created, and it will come back to the West. And this is one very last point I need to make in this regard, is that that's actually part of what the Western agenda wants. When these psychopaths return to the West, we will then use their violent actions back in London or in America or other parts of Europe to justify even further draconian laws so that our governments can become even more tyrannical and the concentration of power can become even tighter. So they know this is going to happen, and those of us who have any kind of intelligence whatsoever can see this as it's happening.
Lee Kaplan.
Well, he's misinformed and he doesn't have his facts straight. Number one, he's talking in favor of the Bashar Assad regime, which of course isn't for liberty or freedom or even for the lives of Arab people and civilians. He talks about 2 million dead in Iraq, but he ignores Saddam Hussein's murders of millions of his own people and millions of Iranians killed in the previous war. He used to have the largest army in the Middle East there, and torture was a normal fact of life. Mr. O'Keefe was a proponent of Hamas, which today, even in Gaza, there is now a revolutionary movement called Tataman of Arabs there who are opposing Hamas. I'd like to point out also that he accused the Israelis, and partially even me, I suppose, of killing Vittorio Arrigoni, who was an ISM activist. However, just recently, the Hamas government reduced the sentences of the two Hamas policemen who admitted to killing Arrigoni. So, you know, he's got his enemies mixed up with the good guys. And it's time that people understand that he really doesn't know what he's talking about.
Ken O'Keefe.
Well, I'd like to thank Lee Kaplan for providing yet another example of how people can be so completely and totally ignorant or totally bought and paid for. I've already got into a private sort of banter between this man and myself in the past. I'm not going to do it again. The fact is that I am a human being who wishes what's best for all people on this planet. And it is not a black and white scenario where you either support Bashar al-Assad or you support the so-called rebels. This is a black and white version. It's very similar to the Republican, Democrat, liberal, left, right paradigms. These are false paradigms created to try and trap us and box us into a certain paradigm, a certain perspective. And I don't buy into that, and I'm not going to feed into it. The fact is that the real crime, the ultimate crime, is the crime of aggression, the international crime of aggression. Those that initiate violence based on false pretexts and lies and carry out state-sponsored terrorism in the form of war are the greatest criminals of all. And by that definition, which is the only sensible definition of international crimes, ultimately my birth nation, the United States, and its compatriots in England and in Israel are the biggest purveyors of violence on the planet. I'm not mistaken at all in my facts. The only person that would buy into the sort of rubbish that this gentleman is speaking of are the kind of people that, again, are bought and paid for, are completely and totally brain dead. So the fact is that Syria is nothing more than a global chessboard agenda. And in that agenda, there is a goal of destabilizing these nations surrounding Israel. Once they're destabilized, it is possible to go in, whether it's a year from now, 5 years from now, and get your puppets in place to be able to extract the resources, to be able to put in permanent military bases, and ultimately to have continuing and ongoing complete control over this region, which of course has profound utility for the purposes of empire, specifically with the energy reserves, and again with permanent military bases that will continue the policy of full spectrum dominance. There's no confusion here. Those of us who care about this world and actually want to see it move for the better are recognizing the obvious history of our birth nations in the West and what they have done. We are the biggest criminals of all, and it is us in the West who need to take care of our governments, because ultimately we are complicit with their crimes, and these crimes can hardly be measured. They are that hideous, and they are that consistent.
Yes, go ahead.
Am I going to get a chance to speak here?
Yes.
First of all, he talks about being paid. I'm not paid by anybody to talk about what I talk about. My political positions in favor of the West and the United States and even Israel, I'm not paid for that. I do it out of a moral obligation. He talks a good game, but, you know, he goes to dictatorships. He was a human shield for Saddam Hussein, who was a torturer and a murderer of millions of Arabs. And he's the one who's paid. He's the one who gets money. I believe he went to Tehran to get his marching orders. He goes to to Gaza to get his marching orders from Hamas, even though Hamas killed one of his own. He doesn't really do anything more than be a propagandist for dictators and killers. And to say that the United States is the greatest exporter of state terrorism is absurd. If you look at the United States actually fights state terrorism. Bashar Assad has been one of the major supporters of state-sponsored terrorism throughout the world. And he also gave a home to Hamas and to assorted terrorist groups before he finally reached the point where things caught up with him, which is what's happening now. So, you know, anybody who would believe Mr. O'Keefe's comments that the United States is the state sponsor of terrorism and that dictators like Bashar Assad are really the good guys is, you know, somebody who's a victim of Goebbels-like propaganda. That's all it really is.
Well, let's, Ken O'Keefe, I'd like to get your reaction to what Saudi Arabia has done. And Prince Bandar has come out and said that it's going to end its cooperation over the Syria war with the United States and with the rest of the countries, 11 countries that are supposed to, support the Friends of Syria group. Does this mean, do you think that the Saudi Arabias are going to take the ball in their hands and just go with it? We are getting several reports indicating that they have done so, actually, in Syria by forming 50 brigades and having a head running these brigades. What's your interpretation of this piece of news?
I'm reading these same reports, and what is absolutely clear is historically we know that every empire that has ever existed has reached a peak and eventually it falls. There is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that the American empire peaked, probably right in the aftermath of 9/11, the ultimate false flag operation. And since that time, it's carried out the agenda that it always wished to carry out in the new Pearl Harbor fashion. It found its excuse to carry out unjustified wars that amount to war crimes and crimes against humanity. And now, in the aftermath, in the wake of all of the horror, pain, suffering, death that has resulted in the policy of full-spectrum dominance, we see now that the people of America and the world are finally realizing what they should have realized some time ago, and that is that The American agenda has nothing to do whatsoever with any sort of justice, and the empire is falling apart. It isn't much longer before we will see that the US dollar will no longer be the reserve currency of the world. Thank God, other nations of the world are building their relationships with other nations, developing their trading outside of the US dollar, and eventually, when the US dollar is no longer the reserve currency, which is only a matter of time, all of the power and the corruption and the tyranny that has stemmed from the petrodollar system will be no more. And in that case, what's going to happen to the American people is that they're going to enjoy what it's like. They're going to enjoy what it's like to be a third world nation. And this is why the American people need to realize that your sons and daughters are more valuable than what Israel intends to do with them. You don't need to fight any more wars for Israel. You don't need a foreign state dictating to your government, which swore to uphold the US Constitution, what policies should be carried out, especially wars for Israel. And the American people are going to suffer more than anyone else in the end if they don't get their house
please.
In order. The fact is that the United States of America, sadly and shamelessly, has been running roughshod over the world. And when we talk about terrorism, it is beyond ridiculous to talk about America fighting a war on terror. The American nation has been responsible for state-sponsored terrorism that has resulted in the death of probably 2 to 4 million people in Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia, countless people in Korea, countless people through proxy wars in Central and South America, 2 million perhaps in
this
Iraq.
Is all
I don't know
this
how
is
many
all...
how thousands and thousands
May
in
I
Afghanistan,
answer.
Proxy wars in Pakistan, Yemen.
This is
but
all
we have
propaganda.
Fought wars all over the world.
All,
Nobody
all,
has exterminated the lives and created more suffering than the United States of America. And this is the truth. And at some point,
okay,
the American people are going to have to face up to this truth, because it does the American people no good whatsoever to continue to bury their heads in the sand.
Yes, Lee Kaplan, go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, he's absurd, and he's a professional propagandist. Look, he also throws in Pearl Harbor because he's trying to suggest that the United States was the villain in World War II. The United States defeated the Soviet Union in the Cold War, and they defeated the Nazis in World War II, who declared war on the United States. They also defeated the Japanese, who attacked them. As far as his saying that 9/11 was an inside job that the Americans did it themselves, he's ridiculous. He sounds like an idiot. And he talks about Vietnam, and he talks about these other wars, and he tries to claim that the United States is the warmonger. The fact is, the United States has been a cause for good in the world, has fought for freedom, and has freed all of Western Europe. All of Europe was freed by the United States. They've created protection for most of Asia, or at least Taiwan, and Japan relies on the United States today. So it's ridiculous. This guy was a human shield for the likes of Saddam Hussein, and who runs around with Hamas and supports terrorist groups overseas, tells everybody that the United States is the bad guy. No, the United States is the cause for good. And anybody who would watch this and swallow his garbage, his lies, his propaganda, this is on a par with Goebbels. And I'm sure he talks to audiences that are open to listening to his nonsense and his drivel. He might be successful with that. But I think most people in the United States would disagree with him.
Ken O'Keefe, let's move on here. President Assad, in a recent interview, raised a few questions. I'd like to get your answers to these questions, if you can. He said, which forces are taking part regarding the Geneva II coming up? He said, what relation do these forces have with the Syrian people? Do these forces represent the Syrian people, or do they represent the states that invented them?
Well, there's absolutely no question. Once again, there is simply no moral standing for these people that are negotiating for a so-called settlement in Syria. Let's get, for instance, to the point about Bashar al-Assad agreeing to dismantle the chemical weapons program, which, by comparison to Israel or the United States, is so minuscule it's hardly to be considered even relevant. The United States of America has a stockpile of biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons, as does Israel. Why aren't Israel and the United States disarming and dismantling these stockpiles of weapons? Syria, for all the crimes it's accused of committing, isn't even in the same league as Israel or the United States in terms of using weapons of mass destruction, even if you were to blame every single death in the Syrian conflict on Bashar al-Assad, which is completely ridiculous. But even if we were, it wouldn't even come close to the amount of people who have been slaughtered and the lives that have been destroyed by both the United States and Israel and their British partner, who helps legitimize every war crime they commit. The fact is that Syria teaches us one lesson that is extremely important.
And this is a very, very critical point for people to understand. The propaganda has been incessant, it has been nonstop, and it has been telling the people of the world over and over and over again about the new Hitler, Bashar al-Assad. And it has been doing everything in its power to manipulate the people and yet into yet another war. And you know, all it took to stop the British Parliament from voting for another bombing campaign and even preventing the US Congress, which is the most sycophantic, disgraceful, traitorous body of government on the planet, they weren't even allowed to vote on this subject of bombing Syria, because you know what? The people simply don't buy it anymore. And that is the power that we have as people. No longer do we need to allow these corrupt governments to carry out policies of unending war. We don't even need to protest it. We simply need to see the truth for what it is and
may
not
I,
give
may
our
I
consent.
Respond? May
and if
I
these
respond?
Prostitutes and if these traitors want to try and carry out the policies that they're carrying out with 90% disapproval ratings, let them do it, because it will be the end of them forever. The time has come for the United States and other Western governments to have representative governments that actually represent the will of the people, and the people around the world do not want war. They do not believe that bombing other nations is going to make the world a better place.
Okay, we're going to unfortunately have to end it there. Thank you very much, former U.S. Marine Ken O'Keefe there from London. And Lee Kaplan, thank you very much, investigative journalist talking to us from Berkeley. And thank you for watching another edition of The Debate. Newsroom at PressTV.ir for any comments or suggestions. From Mikhail Tahbahi and the entire team in the capital, Tehran, it's goodbye.